Welcome to Remnant Voice Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode brought to you by Pastor Jason Armstrong. For more information on this episode and other podcasts, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv.
What's up, Remnant Nation? Thanks for tuning back in to the Remnant Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Armstrong. Hope you had a good week last week. I hope you enjoyed the teaching. This week, we're going into a message I just preached this past Sunday, actually, here at Summit Church called Abide. I believe one of the greatest tactics for us as a believer to combat the cares of life, the pressures of this world, the attacks of the enemy, you know, the chaos that's surrounding us right now, is for us to remain in that posture of abiding. Abide literally means to remain. And so Jesus had a lot to say about abiding, and we'll dive right into that in a few moments. I want to give you a little bit of a definition, and you'll hear it more in the message, but abiding is not just when things are good, and abiding is not just when things are bad, but abiding is that continual state of the awareness of God no matter the circumstances. Abiding is the continual state of the awareness of God no matter the circumstances. So it doesn't matter if I'm on the mountaintop or if I'm in the valley. As long as I know that He's with me, that I'm in Him and He's in me, then I can get through whatever I'm going through. So we're going to go now right into this message on abiding. I hope it blesses you. And this is just part one. We will have part two next week. So again, thanks for listening, and we'll get right into this message.
Generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and my family, and my children, and their children, and their children. May His presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, He is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, and your going, and your weeping, and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you. He is for you, 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 He is for you.
He is with us and He is for us. He is with us and He is for us.
May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going. In your weeping and rejoicing, He is for you, 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 He is for you.
Come on.
He is for you, He is for you. His presence go before you and behind you and beside you. All around you and within you, He is with you, He is with you in the morning,
reality in your life. And you won't be shaken when all hell and chaos is breaking around you. When you understand that He is for you and not against you. How can you say that He was for me while I was yet a sinner? Christ died. While I was yet at enmity against Him, He was still for me. Don't ever question His love. You have the right to. That's fine. He's a big God. But if you ever question, I want you to look at the answer. While I was yet a sinner, while I was yet at enmity against Him, He sent His own Son into this world to shed His blood to bring me back into the fold. Hallelujah. He is for me. Hallelujah. Don't believe the lie that He's against you. Hallelujah. Make your way back to seats if you can. Hallelujah. I'd say those songs this morning, it's a whole nother level. Jesus, Jesus, You make the darkness tremble. You make the darkness tremble. And if He's in me, then why do I tremble at the darkness? The other part of that song says, You silence fear. If there's anything that the body of Christ needs to do in this hour, it's turn a deaf ear to fear. It needs to turn a deaf ear to fear. Fear loves to speak loud. It loves to be boisterous. It loves to whisper and be loud. It loves to come in with a megaphone, but even more so, fear loves to come in the whisper. Like Holly was saying, when we get, the enemy loves to come in and isolate us or social distance us from the Spirit or social distance from one another. It's in those moments that the whispers start. It's in those moments that the whispers come and start speaking, saying, He doesn't love you. If He's really God, then this sickness wouldn't be upon you. If He was really this, then you wouldn't be going through the situation you're going through. And in that moment, we have an opportunity to use the power of agreement one way or the other. I can start agreeing with the whispers of the enemy, or I can start agreeing with the words of truth. And whatever I come into agreement with, I empower. Whatever I agree with, I'm going to see manifest in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Today we're going to talk about abiding. One of the greatest weapons, I believe, in this hour and any hour is learning, is believers that know how to abide. When we're facing storms, when we're facing chaos, when we're facing all these different things, one of the greatest things that we can do is posture our heart in the place called abiding. The enemy loves to get us out of that posture of abiding and starts getting us into worry. Like Pastor Tim opened up this morning, he loves to get us into worry and the what if scenarios. And so if we can stay in that posture of abiding, we can endure. I would say that one of the greatest things that the body of Christ needs in this hour is endurance. Endurance to say consistency is the new radical. Consistency of abiding in Him in the midst of the storms, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the cares of this world. Consistency in Him is the new radical. It's not peaks and valleys. It's just despite the peaks and valleys, I know I'm in Him and He's in me.
I love a quote. It's by Bill Johnson. He says that, he was talking about, the scripture says that we have peace that surpasses all understanding, right? He says, if you want to have peace that passes all understanding, you have to give up your right to understand. If you want to have peace that surpasses all understanding, you have to give up your right to understand. Sometimes you may not know why you're going through certain things, why storms come. Storms come. They just come. Scripture, if you believe the gospel that's absent of storms, you believe the false gospel. The key is we've been given the power to navigate through the storms and have peace, joy, and righteousness, which is the kingdom of God in the Holy Spirit. We have been given every spiritual blessing to endure these things and come out on the other side. See, we can't live. I don't live in reaction to problems. I live in the reality of the promises. I don't live in reaction to the problems. I've done that. I've tried that. It doesn't work. But once I postured myself and learned how to abide in Him, no matter what problems came, I didn't live in reaction to those problems. I lived in the reality of His promises towards me, and I wasn't moved by those problems anymore. I was enveloped and comforted by the promises that He's spoken over me, because I know that He who promised those things is faithful and true. Abiding is a continual state. Let me put it this way. Abiding is a continual state of awareness of God, no matter the circumstances. Abiding is the continual state of the awareness of God, despite the circumstances. Many of us have seasonal abiding. I'm just abiding when things are good. And maybe some of us have abiding when it's just crisis. And we flip-flop back and forth between abiding well when things are good, and then sometimes we forsake when all hell breaks loose, we forget about abiding in Him then. And then sometimes it's the reverse. When crisis comes, that's when I start trying to posture and abiding, and I live this crisis Christianity, abiding life. And when things are good, I forget all about Him. But we've got to learn to abide and have a constant awareness of the presence of God, despite whether I'm on the mountaintop or whether I'm in the valley. I know that He is with me and that He is for me. No matter where I'm at in life, I'm in Him. So when the bad report comes, I'm not moved or I'm not shaken. Why? Because I know there's another report called the good report. I know that there's fruit that's attached to the promise, and I'm going to go after that. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to give you some verses here. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through... We'll start at 19. We'll go from there. It says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated us through the veil, that is His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us, here it is, hold fast the confession of our faith, or hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let me hold fast to the confession of my hope without wavering, because I know who promised this is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day drawing near. Hold fast, hold tightly the confession. Hold fast to what I'm believing. Hold fast to what, to who he says he is. If he says he's healer and you're going through sickness, guess what? Don't cast away your confidence in him. Hold fast to that confession that, Lord, I know you're the Lord that healeth thee. I know that by your stripes I've been made whole. I know what your blood forgives, the body removes. And I plead the blood over my life and I receive your body and the finished work of what you did. So I'm going to hold fast to that confession. I'm not going to cast it away because of the cares of life and because of evil reports. Do we hold fast our confession or are we quick to cast away our confession? Or is it confession only, but no real faith attached to the works? I just give him lip service. I confess this, but my heart believes something else. Or I confess it for somebody else, but I don't believe that the Lord actually will do it for me. See, when I stay in that posture of abiding, then I'll have this continual supply of reassurance of my faith. I'll have this continual supply of renewing my mind so that my mind can be postured and the thoughts that he has about me, I can start receiving those thoughts and not the thoughts of the enemy. And I don't get into double-mindedness. And then I start wavering because I'm unsteady and unstable. If I hold fast to the confession, hold fast to his word, and continue to renew my mind daily, then I can stand sturdy and then go boldly to that throne where I can obtain mercy in his promises and his grace. What happens is we get out of that posture of abiding and we start getting sin conscious and we start getting all these things where we feel unworthy and then we don't go boldly to the throne. We don't even go to the throne. We stay on the outer court and say, I'll just serve him from here or I'll praise him from here. It says, draw near unto him. Draw near unto him. There's an open invitation at the throne room saying, come up here. Come closer. First Peter 4. 12 through 14 says, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. You know that we're functioning under a blessing right now? That when the world is coming out with what it's saying against the church and the reproach that's going for the name of Christ, do you realize we're functioning under a blessing? Ah, come on. Blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. There's just the Spirit of glory and of God is resting upon his body because of the persecution that's being released. Second Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What? The light affliction is working for us an exceeding weight of eternal glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, what are you looking at? Come on. Are our eyes open to the supernatural or are we just staying on the natural? What are we exposing? What are we looking at? What are we fixated on? He says, while we not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Last one, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In this greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Greatly rejoice. How do I respond in the midst of trial? See, when I'm abiding in Him and He in me, I have the capacity to rejoice greatly when all chaos and storms are around me. But if I'm not in that place of abiding, then I'm greatly sorrowful. I'm greatly fearful. I'm greatly isolated. I'm greatly depressed. I'm greatly everything but what the kingdom says I can be. Romans 14, 17, if you're taking notes, you can just write it down. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but it's in what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, I know it's not my righteousness that's in the kingdom, right? Because my righteousness is what? Filthy rags. So it's not my righteousness, then it can't be my peace. If it's not my peace, then it can't be my joy. So whose peace is it and whose joy is it? If it's His righteousness that gives me access to the kingdom, then it must be His peace and His joy. So righteousness, Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Peace, John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace. Whose peace is it? My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right? This is not your peace. My peace I leave with you. You know the peace of Christ can rule in your heart? In the midst of everything going on, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of sicknesses, in the midst of loss, in the midst of everything, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Remember, you've got to give up your right to understand why is all this happening. Just know that, hey, I'm going through trials. In the midst of this, my faith is coming out more precious than gold because I know He is for me, not against me. Even in the midst of this, that I know that I can have His peace that surpasses all understanding. And when people look at me, they see the peace that's manifested in my life when all the storms are going around me. And people look at me and my life now becomes a testimony in the midst of chaos. How can you have peace when you've just suffered those things? How can you have peace when you just lost those things? How can you have peace? Because listen, sir, listen, ma'am, it's not my peace. It's the Prince of Peace, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And this pressure that's around me, and I'm just a clay jar, an earthen vessel with this treasure in me, and the pressure that's come around me is releasing the Christ in me out to you, and you're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good because I'm abiding in Him and I'm bearing fruit, and that fruit is remaining, and you're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, and you have access to this same peace because the law of the seed says that the seed reproduces after its kind. And if I'm abiding in that vine that is Christ, and I'm producing the fruit of Christ in my life, and I'm manifesting Him in the midst of storms and chaos, and you take a bite of that, guess what? You've just been impregnated with that seed of Christ. And then there's the seed that starts abiding in you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15, and we'll look at verses 1 through 5. Psalm chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. This is a Psalm of David. It says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Notice David's heart posture was about abiding. He wanted to know, how can I abide in you? We see that whole thing with the tabernacle of David, how it was just a tent with the presence. So his heart was always after the presence. How can I abide? And so he's asking the right questions. Oh Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Verse 2 says, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. See, that's an inward truth. Speaks truth in his heart. See, we can't have this inward doubt has to go. This inward hypocrisy has to go. I got to be solid. I got to stand sure on who he is. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. And who eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. Verse 15, verse 5 says, he does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things, look at this promise, he who does these things will what? Never be shaken. He who does these things will never be shaken. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom that can what? Cannot be shaken. He said that he was going to shake everything in heavens and earth, right? But he says, you've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so, you've heard me say this 100 times here, but if you're part of a kingdom that can be shaken, you're part of the wrong kingdom. It's time to transfer into his kingdom. David was seeking after the dwelling and the inner dwelling of the presence of God. He had to face lions. He had to face bears. Oh my. He had to face, come on. He had to face lions. He had to face bears. He had to face giants. He had to face his own brothers. He had to face a father that rejected him. He had to face Saul throwing javelins. Yet he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? In the midst of the storms, in the midst of the chaos, he was like, how can I abide in your presence? I don't know what javelins you're dodging this week. What giants you're facing, what lions are roaring, or what bears are growling. But the answer is abiding. The answer is staying postured in his presence. Staying postured in his word. Being rooted and grounded in him. I think of Daniel in the lion's den. So we gloss over that most of the time growing up in Sunday school. And that's just a good Sunday school word. But my goodness. What was Daniel's posture? It was prayer. He stayed in the posture of prayer. The enemy knew that so much that he's like, I'm going to use that thing against him. So we know the story of how they tried to change the laws and how Daniel did not bow and did not quit, but he set his face towards Jerusalem and continued to abide. No matter what laws are changed in the land, I'm going to continue to abide in him. Come on. No matter what demonic tactics or strategies are trying to be released, I'm going to abide in him. I'm going to set my face like flint towards him. And as I set my face like flint towards him, my heart becomes fire. That's the posture of abiding. And so, we know the story that he ends up in the den of the lions. They roll the stone over the top. The king comes the next day. He yells out to Daniel. And that voice of Daniel raises right back up. Go there real quick. Daniel chapter 6. Let's look at this real quick. 6 and verse 20. It says, when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, Has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Do you hear that? This heathen king was able to recognize the abiding of Daniel. Who you constantly serve, not seasonally serve. See, we're the bride of Christ, and as the bride, we've got to start living as the bride that has full access to intimacy with our bridegroom. We shouldn't live like concubines or harlots. Concubines are about seasonal intimacy. Bride is about continual intimacy. Concubine lives in this mindset of, well, I hope I'm going to get dressed up, and hopefully if I just do this right, he'll come by and choose me today. Whereas the bride, she's already been paid for, already been chosen, already been adorned, and there's an open invitation for intimacy with the bridegroom. It's abiding. Who you constantly serve has been able to deliver you from the lions. Verse 21, then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. Notice even Daniel's heart towards the king. Most of us, if we were put in that pit, what would happen? And even the Lord did a miracle. What would be your response to the king that puts you in the pit? I don't know if I could say, O king, live forever. But maybe if I was actually abiding in him, I would have the Father's heart towards the king, and then I could. In my own strength and in my own power, I would probably be in my flesh and said, O king, you did this. I'm coming after you now. Or I would try to call fire down from heaven. But that was not what Daniel did. You see, Daniel, who had this posture of prayer, had a peace within him that surpassed all understanding. And so when the very king that put him in the pit with the lions comes to investigate and say, oh, I hope your God saved you. Daniel responds back. Look at how he said, O king, live forever. That's not what I would have said. I'd like to think I'd have said that, but there's no way. But Daniel's heart was in that posture of abiding in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more episodes and ways to partner with us, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv. Please join us again soon for another exciting message from Pastor Jason Armstrong.